This is an ABC podcast.
The Australian Open, it's set to begin on Monday, and Craig Tiley, the tournament director, as well as the Tennis Australia CEO, joins me. Welcome, Craig.
Hi, Ben. Good afternoon.
It's great to speak to you. This is been the happy slam in years gone by. It's been the players' slam. We've had a couple of COVID-interrupted years. Will it be again?
Well, we've kind of always been the happy slam. And we have the Australian welcoming spirit from our guests all around the world. And we're really excited about putting on a great event. Ticket sales have been magnificent. If the weather holds as well as it did this past week during qualifying, which was very successful, I think we're in for a great 2 weeks, and we'll have some big numbers come through the gate. And obviously, that is weather dependent, but still, with that, we're pretty excited about getting back to a full event like we had in 2020.
Mm. The big news today, unfortunately, is that Ola Tomjanovic is out of the tournament. A knee issue, just too much for her to overcome. So we only have Australian female wildcards in the women's draw. No Ash Barty, the hometown hero or home nation hero. No Naomi Osaka, no Serena. How do you sell the storylines of the women's draw?
Well, I think the storyline of the women's draw is 128 players that are the top in the world, and there's Iga Świątek's a good example from Poland, who's been the dominant player of 2022 after Ash retired. This is the great thing about the Australian Open. It's the event that uncovers the talent of the future, and it happened every year. Martina Hingis is a good example. Marcus Backgat is a good example, and there's many more. So we look forward to potentially that happening, or some of our Aussie players do well. And, it's disappointing for those players. I know for Ina Tomjanovic and Daria Gavrilova and others that could have got in directly, it's disappointing for them. But it's just one of those things that happens, the timing thing. I spent a lot of time with Ina this morning, and the Australian number one, and she was desperate to want to get to play and just cannot get to the point of getting to herself 100% healthy. So she'll go and regroup and do some rehab and try and get herself healthy. But it's just unfortunate for her. But we've busy been in the process of going through the schedule. And, you've got American Coco Gauff is just come off winning Auckland. And I think she's the potential star of the future. A lot of young players in the draw that are going to, on the women's side, it'd be fun to watch. And then, of course, on the men's side, we have a tough time making a decision on the schedule for Tuesday because of all the great talent we've got in that half the draw.
Is there an update on Camilla Giorgi yet?
No update. That is up with the authorities, and ultimately they'll make the decision and let us know when we need to know.
Craig, the United Cup, did it work? And do you think it still is going to be the best way for us to attract the big-name players to Australia early on in the year?
Well, our measure for how things work is talk to the talent and what they say. Every single player has come into the room, into the office here, and has said how much they absolutely love the United Cup. In fact, the Americans who won it, the men and the women are still socializing at night, getting United Cup dinners together, leading into the Grand Slam. So I think that event is here to stay. It got over 190,000 people come through the gate, and millions watch around the world, 183 countries. And it's for the first event, which we started really late for many reasons. We were originally going to only do it in 2024. I'm very happy we did it in 2023. And we've just finished a reception, congratulating the ATP and WTA tours for their contribution. And I think we're in for a great journey and a great lead into the Australian Open. And a very surprising first year because we didn't expect those numbers through the gate, or the interest we had globally, so it's going to work.
Do you think it needs adjusting, though? Possibly entire ties in one day or something of the like?
Yeah, I think there'll be tweaks. We finished a pretty extensive survey with the players, with the fans, and we'll pull that together. I personally think that tweaks need to happen because we'll continue to evolve and make it better. And there's lots of elements to it that are very special. And it's really the only sport where you've got men and women playing on the same team. The outcome of their matches impact the other players' rankings throughout the year, and it's the result of a woman's match will impact, even though the man's not playing, will impact their ranking throughout the year, and that's really unique. So I think it's got I think we're going to be having this conversation in 3 or 4 years' time and saying, yeah, we were right. This is an unbelievable initiative, and it's got itself to the preeminent. My prediction, it'll be the preeminent global teams event.
Yeah, wow. Craig Tiley, the CEO of Tennis Australia and Australian Open Tournament Director, with us here on Summer Grandstand. Craig, did you guys make any play to invite Roger Federer or Serena Williams down for the Australian Open? It's obviously the first time in a long time that we won't see either of them here in a playing sense.
There was always going to come a day where we wouldn't see them playing. We've enjoyed their greatness for many, many years. We've been very lucky. I know them both well, known them for a long time. They're good friends, and I make any play I possibly can to get them to come. And they've both said they will be down at some point. Yeah, Roger's got other activities this month, Serena as well, and they could always surprise us as well. You never know, but with both of them. But I stay in constant contact, and they know they're welcome with open arms.
Craig, one of the big stories of this week was around fan behaviour and crowd behaviour at the Australian Open. It was reported that fans that boo Novak Djokovic would be kicked out. Did you feel like that was reported accurately, or is that accurate?
No, that's not accurate. Mm. Fans are welcome to the precinct. We want them to come and have a great time. And I did read that and said that was not what I said. And I was very clear, and I'll say it again, is that any fan can come to the side and have a great time. However, whether it be whatever you do, and if you disrupt the enjoyment of any other fan, then you're not welcome. And if it's that disruption can take place in many forms. Fans can come on and have a good time watching tennis.
So essentially, unsociable behaviour.
Yeah, and disruptive behaviour. Yeah. You know, that's booing's not that. So the headline of tennis boos. Tennis bans booing is not the case, not correct.
Mm. The other big story during the week was you agreeing that the tennis season was too long, but you were quite steadfast that the Australian Open belongs in January and this is the start of the summer. Where do you think we can make up the time to possibly shorten the year on the tennis tour, given you conceded that it could be a little shorter, but we're unlikely to move the Australian Open?
The players like the start in January, and they like the start in Australia. And we've got a whole month of them coming down here. It's one of the few places in the world we have the venues you have in the summer. You have to play in the summer months. So we're not going to have other options. The Northern Hemisphere, where there's a lot of tennis, is in the middle of the winter at this time. So that's a great time for us, and we'll always have it this time. However, at the end of the year, there are events that go long and go way into late November, December, and I think those dates need to be reviewed and bring it brought forward to sometime in the end of October and give the players a legitimate couple of months off.
You might have alluded to it with you saying that you think the United Cup will become the premier nations team event in tennis. Yeah. But do you have a view as to where the Davis Cup fits and in what sort of form?
That's a tough question to answer because no one really knows at this point. There's been recent news over the last 24 hours about their major partner, financial partners pulled out and it was no longer with them. So Davis Cup and what was Fed Cup, now Billie Jean King Cup, we consider them great team events and they've got a tremendous amount of history and we want them to survive and prosper. So, but the question is how that's going to happen. There's a lot that needs to be resolved around that. And I'm pretty sure the sporting world is going to get together and figure out a way. The tennis sporting world figure out a way how to address that because it wasn't great news for them overnight.
Craig, as I let you go, I appreciate your time. I know you're very busy and have to run off. The past 2 years, a personal toll for yourself. How significant has it been?
Oh, thanks, Ben, for asking that question. It's never easy. It was a long, tough journey and did impact people close and around me as well. And that was what I was most concerned about. But at the end of the day, you have also good people around supporting you and supporting the team and incredibly proud of all our Tennis Australia team, particularly that went through just as a tough time. We were able to pull off the event for these last two years in remarkably difficult circumstances. And I think they've been really recognized and respected by not only the playing group, but those in the sporting community for doing what was really difficult to do. So, but it's one of those things that comes with a comes with the role, and that's why it would be nice to celebrate as normal a year as we can have this year.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.